Blog Talk Radio.
Your station is Blog Talk Radio. Your program is the Old Ship of Zion. Your host is Senior Pastor Janice Ward of God House Deliverance, Pentecostal Ministry, in the Peninsula sector of Gilroy, California. We have designated a number for our guests to call in, and that number is 877-598-8654. That number once again is 877-598-8654. We welcome your calls into the studio. And we have also allocated prayer before the start of our program. And we would like for you and those of you that are out there in our digital listening audience to bow your head, if you will, as we go in prayer. Father God, we come with grateful hearts of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, for enabling us together in unity once again around this spectrum, coming together as children, as disciples, as pilgrims through this barren land. We're asking you to anoint these lips of clay to bring a rhema word to those that may or may not know you in the pardon of their sins. Hallelujah. Grace me, your servant, Lord, with words of encouragement, words of wisdom to those that are hurting deep within their souls. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray, and we shall all say amen and amen. Our sermon for tonight is entitled, Heaven Help Us All. And we're not going to prolong any more time because we know the time has already been well spent. So without any further preliminary, we will go right on in to our theme on tonight. And I'd just like to give you a little bit of outline on where we're going on tonight. And I'd just like to emphasize these thoughts on tonight. And this is as follows. Lord, we need you to help us. Lord, we need you to help us as a person. We need you to help us, Lord, as human beings. We need you to help us, Lord, as a person of interest. We need you to help us, Lord, as a man or woman of God. We need you, Lord, to send down anointing upon your people, God. We need you to send anointing on the lost, God. We need you to send anointing, hallelujah, on the shut-in, God. We need you to send anointing, Lord, to shake up America, to let them know, hallelujah, that, hallelujah, just like the people of Israel, apart from you, Father God, you can do nothing. Without your approval, God, nothing can take place. Lord, we know that without your yea or nay, nothing can go forward. Apart from you, God, we cease to exist on this place we call planet Earth. Lord, we need you to be, hallelujah, to be revived. We need you to revive us. We need to be revamped, God. We need to be reconditioned with more of your knowledge, more of your anointing, more of your love, Father God. Heaven, help us all. Please, the Father. Hallelujah, praise God. Father God, this is our solemn prayer, God. And we will give your name the glory, honor, and all the praise. Hallelujah. saints and friends, I'd like for you to get your Bible out, and we would like to go into the law of Psalms 95:1-8, and it reads like this. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Do not harden your hearts as in rebellious. Saints of God and you that are out there in the listening audience, we know that millions of Christians gather each Sunday to worship God as their Creator and Redeemer. Whether formal or liturgical, casual or spontaneous, church service are occasions to declare God's worthiness and to give Him praise. But we find that in the century of church history, it revealed how quickly worship can degenerate into empty ritual. This occurred whenever God's people hardened their hearts and failed to obey His word. We know that the psalmist knew this to be true from Israel's experience. Under the leadership of Moses, they had been miraculously delivered from slavery in Egypt and had frequently praised the Lord. We read in the law of Exodus 12-15, but almost immediately they began to doubt God's goodness and trustworthiness. They complained bitterly and found fault with the Lord and His servant Moses. They ignored His instructions, and their worship became hollow. This angered God and resulted in their wandering for 40 years in a desert they could have crossed in a short time. Most were not allowed to enter the promised land. Lord, fill us with wonder and gratitude for your marvelous salvation. Help us to give you the praise you deserve. Hallelujah. And empower us to be faithful in our love and obedience to you. Those of you that are out there in our listening audience, I come to alert your heart and soul that you can praise the Savior. Ye who know Him, who can tell how much we owe Him? Gladly let us render to Him all we are and have. For we come to know that our worship is right only when we are right with God. Heaven, help us all. For we read in the law of Amos 9, the prophet Chronicles shows how Israel lost its original relationship with God because they continually and willfully sinned, provoking Him to anger and judgment. Their worship was complacent. Their business practices were unjust. Their social and moral values were almost non-existent. Their government was corrupt, and equal rights for the poor was absent. Amos tells of Israel's coming punishment, death, their destruction, and exile because of its sins. Was there any hope for Israel, you might ask? Yes, their hope was in the mercy of God. Israel appealed to God in its crisis. His repentance moved God to throw off its oppression. He revived Israel's character and restored his peace. In the inner city today, traditional families' lives is breaking down. In days past, we may have been poor, but we had Christ, love, and family values. The church formed the hood of the communities, and people respected law. But now we see drug-infested homes, churches indifference to their communities, problem government injustice, and sometimes abusive law enforcement. Is there any hope for our communities? Yes, there is hope. The hope is in the grace of God. When people repent and turn to God and seek Him in prayer, He restores them. When the church prays, God restores the luster of his character and his power to influence the community and culture. When we make God the center of our lives, his spirit living with us will help us restore our homes, churches, and communities. When we seek God in prayer, he will restore us again. He is the same God who promised, in that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the branches thereof. And I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the day of old. That is Amos 9 and 11. You that are out there in our digital listening radio office, this is the prayer that we need to pray, a Father's prayer to God. We should ask God, Lord, to help me or help you to bring this rebellious nation into subjection and to be reconciled to my family, to my community, to my church, but most of all to you, Lord. This should be our prayer, because we are living in a society, you that are out there in our digital listening audience, we're living in a society where people don't want anything, I mean anything, to do with God, even in a conversation. They want to block God out. But I have you to know that aside from God, we are nothing. We can do nothing unless God stamps his approval on it. For without God, we are helpless. We are just like the people of Israel, roaming around in Egypt for 40 years. Without God, we are just a people that is roaming around in this world with no sense of direction. For without God, we can no longer exist. We have to bring God back into our communities, into our government, back into our schools, back into our courtrooms. We got to bring God back. We got to stand up and say enough is enough. And it has been too long. And we need to put God back as the forefront, the forerunner of our lives. God, help us all. Father God, we need you to restore us again, Lord, where we once was, God, in your good grace, God, in your good mercy, God. We need you, God, to pour out your anointing upon all flesh, God, and give us a desire to love you, to be, have you as our first love, God. Chosen people, God, a peculiar people, God, a people, God, that you will be proud of, God. You will be happy to call your own, God. This is our prayer, this is our petition, God, that we bring before your throne on tonight, God. Heaven, help us all, God. We need your help, Jesus. We cannot do it without you. Father God, we need a revival in the land. Lord, and we can just see how that in the scene we look like a deserted battlefield, and the prophet Ezekiel found himself in a valley of dry bones with the flesh completely gone from them. They were very dry, symbolizing that hope for the nation. Revival has dried. Revival has died. God asked Israel if these bones could live, knowing that it was beyond human power. to make the bones leap. Ezekiel responded by saying, O Lord God, thou knowest. Hallelujah. And we read in the law of Ezekiel, I think that was 37 and 9. Then the Lord commanded Ezekiel to preach to the bones, instructed them to hear the word of the Lord. And the Spirit of God knitted the bones together, covering them with sinew, flesh, and skin. The breath of life came from the fourth wind. The life-giving Spirit of God infused them, and they stood up as a man's arm. These dry bones, which presented all of Israel, depicted her as desolate, distraught, and barren of vitality, as fleshless bones can no longer be called human beings. Neither could Israel be called a nation. Every hope of ever becoming a nation again was lost. We read down to verse 11. Nevertheless, God told them he would open their grave. Since this restoration could never have been achieved by human power, this would prove that God was their God. Only the Spirit of God could give the nation life. Because the experience of black people in America have closely paralleled those of Israel in exile, this has been a favorite preaching passage for African American preachers. Slavery left our bones dry. They became very dry through Reconstruction, lynching, and segregation. But God's Spirit breathed on us during the dynamic leadership of people like Martin Luther King Jr. Now that we are able to stand upon our feet, we must continue to stand firm on the resurrection grounds and not return to the grave of indifference, where our bones will surely become dry again. We have to stand firm on our belief in God, that we know God is our Lord and our Savior. He's our Redeemer. He's our soon coming King. And I'd like to let you that are out there in our listening audience know tonight that time is of an essence. If it ever was a time for us to be about our Father's business, the time is now. I mean, everything is just in an uproar. Everything is just going haywire. They're going against the prick of God. They're going against the commands of God. And the world is sought out to just take a mind of her own and do as she pleases, rather than to obey the commands of God. And God has been good to America. God has wiped out a whole lot of nations. We have had a whole lot of devastation over in Tokyo, over in China, with the tsunami, with the bombing of 9/11. I mean, there's stories after stories that we can go back and revise, that God has been good to America. But you know, God is not going to keep on holding back his wrath. And I know that a lot of it has been because of the prayers of the righteous one. But God's word tells us that the prayer of a righteous one availeth much. And we know that there are people of God on this planet Earth that love God. God has some people that love him unconditionally, that will just, you know, lose their soul, be willing to die for the sake of the gospel. But God knows that there are many others that the saints of God is ministering to and is trying to compel them to turn over from that wayward life unto a straight and narrow pathway of righteous living, of sanctification lifestyle before God. That is what God is calling for, America to come back to God and to renew a right spirit again and to love God as her personal Savior, soon coming King. But we know that God went to the cross that we might not die, but that we might have life, and that we might have life more abundantly. God didn't just die because he felt like it was a good thing to do, because it felt good to do that. But God was punished, God was whipped, and God was spit upon for the sake of our sins. And the best that we can do, because there's nothing that we can give God, but he will accept our soul and our body to live a holy and acceptable lifestyle that pleases before God each and every day that we live down here on planet Earth. But we know that God said that it wouldn't be easy. God said that we would go through trials and tribulations. Yes, we will. But God will declare that although you would go through trials and tribulations, but God will say that he will deliver you from them. So there is no need, you know, for you to be sad about any trial or tribulation that comes your path. Because we know that as Christians and we that are disciples, we that are children of God, knows that where there's no test, there's no testimony. But we know that whatever crisis we face down here on planet Earth, God made a way of escape. And he has a way of escape for you that don't know God in the parts of your sins. And on tonight, I would like to present Jesus to you and let you know that God can save your soul. He can deliver you from whatever that has you bound, whatever that has you in bondage. God can deliver you and he can set you free. He can take away all of those desires that you once had and renew a right mind inside of you. All you need to do is just acknowledge to God that you are a sinner and that you would like to accept Christ as your personal Savior, and that you repent from all sins. And God says that after repentance is made, then God will put your sins in my sins. And all of us that have sinned before God, he will put them in the sea of forgetfulness and to remember them no more. And I tell you, saints and friends, and those of you that are listening out there in our digital radio audience on tonight, God is knocking at the door of your heart. Will you please open up the door and allow Jesus in? Would you allow him in? Give him a chance. After you've tried the rest, I would ask you to try the best. And Jesus is the best thing that ever could happen to any individual that knows no crime in the part of their sins. God is a sovereign God. God is a loving God. God is a just God. God is righteous. and God is Samuel. God didn't do anything. He was the one that was sent. God didn't have any sin. Neither was a God bound in his mind. But God loved us to the point of death. God went to Calvary for to prove his love for mankind and for womankind. And all God is asking you is to give him a try. Allow him into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, to set up housekeeping inside of you, and to create in you a new creature. All things, behold, the old things has passed away, and all things has become new. I'm telling you, there is just no other lifestyle that a person could ever have in this life. I mean, the beauty of holiness is just something that, I mean, it's just blissful. I mean, you just no other lifestyle. No other lifestyle, even in comparison to living a holy and sanctification lifestyle before your family, before your friends, before your co-workers, before the friends that's in your inner circle, before your children. There is no greater lifestyle than the lifestyle of Jesus Christ. Because in the end, God has prepared you and I a mansion that was not made by the hand of man. And I hope and pray that I've said something to inject your spirit, to infuse your mind, and to just inspire your heart on tonight. I didn't go hard tonight. I just wanted to just be easy and gentle tonight, because I just wanted to you to get this down all in your spirit. And I hope that I've said something to encourage your heart on tonight. And if this program has been a blessing to you, I would love to hear from you. Your comments are welcome. And as I said before, you can text me a message. You can also email me. And my email address is janetallaboutgod@yahoo.com. Until we meet again, I want you to go in God as God go in you. Bye for now.